Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael back here again with a Faith and Freedom Show on Frank Talk 104.3 FM for the Liberty Works Radio Network. I'm going to talk about the issues of the day from a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. Today I have as a guest Jason Sager. Been looking forward to this. In fact, some of our listeners have been calling in on my non-broadcasting hours using our toll-free number, of course, for their convenience, 888-850-1872. And what they've been doing is asking for me to interview Jason Sager. So here we have Jason Sager today. Now, Jason, I'm a kind of guy who was always an upstart. Was the kind of guy that I was in the Navy, as you were in the Navy for 4 years. I was there a bit longer. In fact, they're sending me a check every month these days. One of the things that used to happen is they'd take me to meetings, and they knew if a tough question got asked that somebody at a higher rank didn't want to really answer, they knew I was enough of an upstart to go ahead and chime in because nobody would say anything. And there was something in the punch bowl that needed to be dealt with. And so as I'm a little bit older than you, not too much, but I'm looking back and seeing you with some of the same fervor I have. And I see, oh, what a great young upstart. And so that's the question I had just before we went to the break, was concerning how the local politicians, the group that's in power is connected, the local Republican caucus, how they're receiving you. And so can you just tell me a little bit about that? How well do you think that you are faring with kind of the old school Republican group?
Well, over the past week, it's definitely gotten a lot better because, again, I'm not challenging the incumbent anymore. But I'll be completely honest with you and your listeners that it has not been an easy road to hoe for me. And it has a lot to do with the fact that I'm an outside-the-box kind of guy. I'm not someone who's going to work my way up the ladder, as I've been told, in our political party. I don't believe that we need to do that. Our founders never intended for us to have to work up any ladder in politics. I'm someone who does not believe in being a career politician or listening to people just because they are a career politician. And the many of the folks locally, not all, and like I said, I've got a lot of friends in the political arena, have been a little apprehensive about supporting me outright, simply because that I have not played the game, or I have not, you know, worked the system the way that it has been worked for so many years. But it doesn't really bother me, because I'm someone that believes that it is that system that's broken down and caused a lot of the problems that we now have. So I look at things from outside the box, untainted from anything, and I can clearly see what needs to be done in order to begin to undo some of the things that have been done over the past many years.
I'm going to something off your website. It says that Jason will join coalition of 50 candidates to support common sense reforms as freshman congressional representatives. Now, this platform has six items, six prongs. You say, one, you're going to say, apply the law equally. All laws that apply to all citizens must also apply to Congress. Now, that's a little bit tricky thing that I'm going to save to the end. Term limits. You talk about term limits, Congress to no more than 12 years in the House and Senate, respectively. Enforce congressional ethics. And you can talk about that. Read the bill. We've all heard about read the bill. Tax reform, that's a hot potato. And, of course, balance the budget. So tell me about those things. Tell me about your ideas, your favorite, your biggest bone to pick with regard to these.
My biggest bone would be to pick, it's hard to narrow it down because they're all so important. Term limits is something that everyone in our district is asking for, everyone that I've spoken with. And I've been completely honest with them and trying to prove to them that I believe in representation. And their agenda is what is most important, not mine. And I clarify that by letting them know that I personally am not a fan of term limits, only because I agree with James Madison when they had this very same debate 200 and some years ago, that it takes one more power away from the people. Now, that's my opinion, but the opinion of the electorate and the people that I would be representing is what's more important to me. And they are absolutely calling for term limits, and that's why I signed on with the Freshman 50. That's what you're speaking of.
Yes.
And one of the elements in that platform is to limit congressional terms to 12. something I'm willing to sign off with, because that's what the American people are asking for. And I want to represent them. And that's, you know, one of the issues that I use as proof that it's not all about me. It's definitely all about them. Now,
I'm going to go into something a little bit there. That's fascinating how you went back to the founders. Of course, we know they had one idea that any office that would go more than a year basically jumps right on into the old tyranny ballpark. So, but then the flip side is, let the people determine what they're going to have, especially in the House of Representatives. Of course, the Senate has a whole different nuance to it originally. So I see what you're saying there. Now, what about the only problem with this, holding to term limits, there's this other thing that I think is right in front of everybody, and nobody's ever, they're whining about it, but never calling for a change. And that would be something called the single object rule. In Florida, they have a single subject rule. In Virginia, they have a single object rule. And, of course, that's where the founders were writing all these founding documents. Congress right now has the ability to put in any bill, anything they want, whenever they want, as an amendment to basically a quid pro quo to get bills passed. And it could be, it just is completely corrupting the system. So have you ever thought about that idea of getting some, you know, single object rule with regard to legislation?
Yes, actually, one of the things that we hand out to everybody, we work on a very tight budget, but one of the things we hand out to everybody when we see them is a bookmark. And on the back of this bookmark, I've listed seven principles that I will guide myself by as their representative. And it's funny that you bring that one up, because principle number three, one of the questions I have to ask before I ever vote in favor of a bill, is does this bill address only one issue, and is that issue clearly defined in the title of the bill? Yes, this goes back to the Madisonian and Jeffersonian interpretation of what government should do, but this idea actually came from the Florida Constitution. And in Florida, our own legislatures, they do that now. And you're right that this is a major problem, and we just saw this with the health care legislation, is that here you have a bill that's all about health care reform. The title of it is the Patient Protection Act of 2010. And buried deep in the middle of this bill is a complete overhaul of the student loan system, something that has nothing to do with the other. That is absolutely a way that government is not acting transparent and passing things under the guise of other things, and that must stop. So one of the things that I will do personally before I want legislation to make that clear and change the House rules in order to make that go forward. But I, as the people's representative of District 5, will make a pledge to them that with even without that legislation or rule change in place, I will not vote for any bill that addresses multiple subject matters. It's just not right.
So is that saying that you're going to be completely obsolete in Congress?
No, because I'm working with a group of people now. That's the exciting thing, is that I'm working with states' rights coalitions. I'm working with the Freshman 50 and a couple other different organizations that are all trying to get people elected this year to make a new coalition when we get to Congress, because we'll actually be able to change these things.
Okay. Now, what kind of things, and we'll get back to this this platform, but what kind of things are you going to have repealed?
Well, it depends on the issue. I mean, there's so many different things, but let's take health care, for instance, because that is absolutely a hot topic and it was handled incorrectly. If we go all the way back to the beginning of health care was actually, the health insurance industry was a product of the federal government and regulation. It was born out of life insurance companies back in the 30s. And what happened was FDR wanted to create government health care. This is nothing new. And the Supreme Court actually blocked him from doing so. So what they did was they created what they called the McCarran-Ferguson Act, which required the states to regulate insurance companies, therefore creating health insurance. So when everybody talks about buying health insurance across state lines, it sounds good, but we can't do that unless we either repeal or reform that act first. Another one that people talk about is portability in health insurance. We cannot have portability unless we repeal or replace the HMO Act from the 1960s. That's the one that required people to only get insurance through their employer. So this whole nonsense of, you know, where our employers are burdened by health insurance and that's why we're not winning with, you know, our competitors overseas, that was forced into the employer's basket by the federal government. And I think it is completely absurd that employers have to give us health insurance. This was a system that was devised by the federal government. There's no reason why I shouldn't be able to buy health insurance just like I buy car insurance.
Okay, so they created the problem so they could come up with a solution. Now, that's a quick summary of that one. We say that happened. What about those people who are older and they're worried about their Social Security? An upstart like you would terrify them, possibly. Well, you know what I mean? Because they realize that there's some bathwater along with that baby there. You know what I mean?
Yep. That was actually a tactic from my former opponent who just retired, was to scare people into thinking that I would somehow take away their incomes or their health insurance. I am a Christian first before anything, and I would find it absolutely immoral for me to leave people hanging based on the... a former promise that was made by Congress many years ago. I'm actually signing on with Paul Ryan's idea, where we've got a 60-year plan on how to wean ourselves off of these programs. And what we need to do is I look at things in a three-generational block. We've got a generation of folks, I would say between 40 and retirement and beyond, that we need to make sure and guarantee that they receive the benefits that they paid into and that they were guaranteed, and do everything that we can in order to make that happen. Now you've got a next block between 18 and 40-ish or 45, depending on who you talk to on which plan, that this is the transitional generation. People in my age group that will now make a decision on whether or not we want to enter into that same system or a modified system, or take our money and go elsewhere into the private sector. And if we have to look at things in a 60 to 75 year stretch, because these things didn't pop up overnight, and we're not going to be able to get rid of them overnight. But we must begin to have the conversation with our friends and neighbors now on what is the course of action for the future. And I have not found one person that would say that they would want to sign on with any of the entitlement programs currently coming out of Washington for their great-grandchildren. Everybody knows that we need to fix the system. Everybody knows that we cannot trust the government to be there for us when we need them. So that's the attitude that I'm going in with and that we're going to work on.
Okay, so one of the things that I hear some guys say that are running for Congress, you haven't said any trite things like this, but they say, we've got to cut federal spending. And then I look at the federal spending charts and those things that are basically written in the Constitution, like the post office and things like that, the spending of those things is minuscule compared to what is breaking our backs. And, of course,
correct,
that's the entitlement programs and things like that. So I tell you what, we got to take a break. And we're going to close out here. We're going to take a call on the break. So, folks, you're listening to Frank Talk 104.3 FM. I'm David Allen Carmichael. You're listening to the Faith and Freedom Show, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Jason Sager, and he's looking for the nomination for Republican Party for the 5th District, Congressional District of Florida. So this is good stuff, and when we come back, we're going to open up the phones. The toll-free number is 888-850-1872. That's 888-850-1872. Hey, keep tuning in to Frank Talk 104.3 FM and get on board the Liberty Works Radio Network.